Wednesday morning, you know what to do. Tune into the podcast just for a few. I'll be your guide with tips for your trade. Business success, that's what we'll create. They call it private practice, a world of its own, where entrepreneurs thrive and dreams are grown. From marketing strategies to financial know-how, I'll share the secrets, come on and take a bow. Welcome to the Private Practice Podcast, where I'll help you thrive and we'll have a blast. Tune in every Wednesday and you'll soon see your business success. It starts with me.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Welcome to another episode. I am really, really looking forward to sharing this information with you today because I think it's really going to help you in your business. So if you like, you might want to take a few notes as we go along, maybe hit pause, go grab your podcast journal and pen. If you're driving or something or you're otherwise preoccupied, no problem at all. Maybe just listen along, take some mental notes and see how you go. All right. So I was speaking with somebody recently in one of the groups, and I can't remember which group it was in, but she was saying that she had intended to go along and do her master's in counseling because she wanted to be able to bill people under Medicare. And she was really disappointed that when she found out that, you know, the master's in counseling wouldn't give her that ability, she felt really defeated. And she said, so I'll just stay with my, you know, diploma then or bachelor's or what. I can't recall what she actually had. And I said to her, you know what, can I just ask you, like, why were you so interested in getting on to Medicare? And she really quickly replied, and she was so nice, and she just sort of said, well, you know, so that I could fill my diary, you know, so that I could get clients and, you know, make a living. And I thought, that's the problem. This is the problem. In the counseling world, and perhaps even in psychology and social work, there are, you know, some of us that think Medicare is what's going to fill your diary. But the reality is Medicare is not going to fill your diary. It's not. There are plenty of broke psychologists, okay? They're working under Medicare. They're connected with doctors and doctors' clinics and stuff like that. They're broke. They're not getting referrals. There are so many psychologists that have availability. I think it's a real fallacy to be saying, oh, there's such a long waiting list. You know, I used to subscribe to that belief as well. And the reason that I did was because I wasn't asking questions. I was just swallowing what I was seeing in the media, which was like, oh, we've got this backlog, da 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 da. But actually, no. When you go into the psychologist communities and you start looking and listening and asking them, how are you going with your private practice and things like that, you'd be surprised how many are broke. They are struggling. But you go onto their Instagram, you go onto their Facebook, you even have a look at the website, and there's not a hint that they're struggling financially. Not a hint, because why would there be? And so what happens is, you know, it builds this narrative that they must be doing fine. And we just assume as counselors, well, of course they're doing fine. It must be because of Medicare. It's not. There are also plenty of accredited mental health social workers that also are eligible and able and available to deliver services under Medicare in their private practice, but they're broke too. They're not getting the referrals. So I thought it was really important to speak into this today because I think counselors especially have an idea in their minds that unlocking access to Medicare for their private practice is going to be the magical thing that fills up their diaries, and it's simply not. Okay, Medicare is not going to fill your diary. It doesn't matter what occupation you are in our industry here of counselling. So it doesn't matter if you're a counsellor, a psychologist, or a social worker, you cannot count on Medicare to fill your diary. It's not a given. It's not, you don't just, I don't know, get approved by Medicare with your provider number, you know, put it on your website and then clients come. That's not how it works, okay? So today I really wanted to share that with you and just clarify, because yeah, there's a lot of misunderstanding, I think, that happens in the counsellors community. And I want to speak with you about some of the things that will fill your diary, whether you're a psychologist or a social worker or a counsellor. There are things that you can do today that can start to help you fill your diary for tomorrow, for next week, for next month, all those kinds of things. So, of course, we're going to go back to looking at the business. Now you might be thinking, oh, I don't have time to go looking back at the business, Brooklyn. I need clients. Like, I'm running at a loss here. I need clients. I know that you need clients, but we have to look at why you don't have them, okay? Because there are other practices just like yours that do have them. So what's the difference between yours and theirs, okay? The first thing that we need to do is get eyes on your business. And that means doing some of the things that maybe you haven't considered or maybe you just haven't done for whatever reason. Maybe you just didn't know about it. Maybe it felt too hard. Maybe you didn't know how, all those kinds of things. But the very first thing you want to do is have a look at the business plan that you've made for your business for this year. You know, we're in quarter two right now, halfway through that. So now is a really great time if you haven't got a business plan, which I hope that you do because you're in business. If you don't have a business plan for, say, you know, the next 6 months of 2024, now is a great time for you to sit down and write one out. If you don't know how, or if you don't know where to get your templates and things like that, I can help you. If you're in Private Practice 101, you've got business planning templates in there plus training. If you're not in Private Practice 101, the certificate of private practice, that's okay. You can go and get business templates from the Hey Therapist Etsy store. So I definitely recommend you go and do that. The other thing that I would recommend is when you have created your business plan, go and put activities for it that you need to do into your diary. So go and throw them into Galaxy as an appointment, you know, before the working day starts. If you start at 9 a.m., put a little appointment in there for 15 minutes for 8:15 a.m. or something with a reminder of what you've got to do that day, or use the task function, or throw it into Google Calendar and you set yourself up for notifications and things like that. Because if you don't implement the plan, there's no point having one, and you won't know what to implement unless you've got reminders there. So that's the next thing to do. Get that plan sorted out. Under that plan, now you can have two types of plans. You could have a very simple, basic one-page business plan, which, you know, that's okay if you understand all the basics behind it. If you're new to business planning, I would say go and get the comprehensive business plan, because it's a lot more detailed and it's going to get you thinking and being aware of all the different moving parts that you need to have in place in order to set the business up to receive clients. So your business needs to be generating inquiries, it needs to be generating bookings, it needs to be generating sales. And the systems and the structures that need to be in place. So that's why I really do recommend doing a comprehensive business plan. So as part of that business plan, you're going to be looking at things like your policies. And those are going to be policies around onboarding, or they're going to be policies around offboarding. They're going to be policies around things like client retention. They're going to be policies around your marketing and advertising. There'll be policies around contracts that you provide directly business to business. But there might also be other types of contracts that you provide services under. So there's a lot to understand in terms of, from a business management perspective, how do we set the business up for you so that you don't have to worry so much about filling the diary, okay? some of the things I would absolutely recommend that you have in place include things like automated systems for growing your audience and automated systems for getting inquiries, bookings, and sales. And if you're in Private Practice 101, you have access to training on exactly how to do that. And it really does help, because once you have put these things in place, then you can take your foot off the accelerator and you don't feel like it's so much pressure for you to be finding clients, finding inquiries. There's not that sense of pushing anymore. And you really can have the experience of waking up in the morning and seeing new names in your diary. And you really can wake up in the morning and see, you know, you've got new drops of money in different little buckets coming through in the business. And it's so exciting when that happens, because it's an affirmation or it's confirmation that, hey, I'm doing it. It's working. And it just gives you such a happy feeling. And it's the best. And I love it so much. I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I check my Stripe account to see what money came in overnight. And it's so much fun. And it's a different amount every morning. I never know what it's going to be. And I love to check my Instagram account. And also too, once you have understood how to put automations in place with your website and your social media and things like that, your email even, it just becomes, you know, like almost effortless. And also a lot of the things that you put in place become evergreen, so you don't need to be constantly renewing them or constantly on top of them, because as your audience grows, people will go back and listen to things that, you know, you shared, or you read things that you sent in the past or that you wrote in the past, and they take action based on that, you know. And again, it triggers automations. And so automations are really fun, easy way for you to fill the diary without Medicare. It doesn't require Medicare. You can absolutely get clients that aren't seeking Medicare. If you are a psychologist or a social worker, this absolutely works for you too, and you can use it for Medicare. So this is what I'm saying. You have to know what processes to put in place. And unless you've learned them, you just don't know what you don't know. And so that's when you find yourself perhaps struggling a little bit and feeling defeated and like it's all too hard, it's all too much. So yeah, making sure you've got good systems in place. So your automations are definitely a system. The other thing is making sure you've got really good policies in place and really good processes. So you've heard me talk about it before. You know, I'm so proud of the fact that I brought the idea of aftercare programs to our industry, right? They just weren't happening. They were happening in all other industries, but they weren't happening in social work. They weren't happening in psychology, and they just weren't happening in counseling. And now I'm so pleased to say that there are hundreds, if not maybe nearly 1,000, I might even say now, if I look at all the people who've enrolled and things like that, in my program where I teach about how to create an aftercare program for your private practice. So that's what I mean, you know, understanding the different processes that you can put in place that support a client on their entire journey, not just the window of the journey where, you know, they're on the couch in a consulting room with us. Having those processes in place will keep your diary full without Medicare. Again, if you're a psychologist or a social worker, you can use those exact same processes for clients who do want to access Medicare, right? The point is, it doesn't matter if you've got Medicare or not. You need to understand what A, the systems are, and B, the processes are, okay? The next thing is to be tracking your key performance indicators. It really do track your KPIs. Again, if you're in Private Practice 101, you already know how to do it. If you were new and you just started in the Private Practice Certificate, don't worry, the training is coming up. You'll still be in the early stages of the course, and it comes sort of towards the middle section, so you will see it then. You don't need to worry. But really understanding what needs to be tracked if you want to fill your diary, what needs to be tracked, what needs your attention, and understanding what is this data telling you. And, you know, for the longest time, I wasn't even tracking KPIs because I thought I didn't have to because it was only me in the practice. This was not a fantastic way for me to approach business because it meant that I was leaving money on the table. I was not working with clients who really did really need to work with me. And I was missing out on a whole lot of opportunities for growth and expansion for my business, even though it was, air quotes, only me. The reason I didn't do it was because I just thought, well, I don't need to. I'm the boss here. It's only me, or it's just me, and I don't have to do the things that I don't want to do, and I really don't want to be tracking numbers and data. So no, thank you. But the reality is, when I had contracts in my private practice to work for third-party organizations, I would be reporting to them, and I did have to report on KPIs. Things like attendance, cancellations, reschedules, retention rates, inquiries, traffic to the website, bounce rates off the website, all those kinds of things. It's like yawn-worthy. You just want to yawn when you're tracking these numbers for somebody else. And so then when you start your private practice, you think, oh, great, I can kick that to the curb. I will never have to track data ever again. But that's wrong. Like, you need to be tracking that number, even if your practice is you, right? Perhaps you are a solo practitioner, as so many of us are. Maybe you're a solo practitioner. If you're struggling with your clients and you're struggling to fill your diary, run reports. Go back into your practice management software and start running reports and have a look. You know, is there any difference between this month and last month? Or, you know, we're in May 2024 now. Let's print off the data for April and compare it to April's data of last year and see what the difference is. How can we explain those differences? What reports do you want to run? You want to run reports on inquiries. You want to run reports on where the inquiries and the bookings are coming from, all those kinds of things. So that's really important. Tracking the data, it can feel boring, but I think once you start doing it for your own business, all of a sudden that data starts to become very, very powerful, and it tells you a story. It tells you, right, Brooklyn, this time last year, this was happening in your business. You have this many inquiries, and they're mostly coming through your website. And now if we look at April this year, Brooklyn, we see that the inquiries have dropped, and not so many are coming through the website anymore. That's helpful information for me to know, so I can think, okay, what changes did I make to the website in the last 12 months? What do I need to retweak? Are there any processes or strategies that I've stopped that I need to reintroduce? Things like that. So, and then you can measure again once you've made some changes. So that data really allows you to create powerful changes for your private practice. And that is another way that you can really start to fill your diary if that's what you're wanting to do. And a full diary looks different for all of us. Many of us are working full-time in other jobs while we're studying, and we're trying to, you know, it's like our private practice is our side hustle, and we're trying to do that, you know, a couple of nights a week or something. You know, you might only have availability to see three clients a week. That's totally fine. So fully booked for you is three clients, but fully booked for somebody else could be 10 or 12 or 20 or whatever. The next thing to understand too is really having a very, very, very clear niche. I say it all the time. And yes, there are polarity people that are going to say, well, I built mine without a niche, you know, that's amazing. Well done you. But you're the outlier, right? You're the exception to the rule, not the rule. The rest of us all need to be having a reason that people would refer to us. So if I don't know why I would refer a client to you, that's a problem for you because it means I'm not going to send you work. It's also helpful for you to know because you can say, okay, so there's something happening with my marketing here that's causing confusion. People just don't know why they would refer to me. And there are things that you can do that will help you become known for being the go-to practice in your area or in your niche or in your location. For example, for working with something. So your niche could be the problem or the challenge that you really like to help people with. It could be the outcome that they want to have. It could be the therapeutic modality that you use. It could be something else. It could be your philosophy. So there are so many ways of crafting your niche. And yes, you can have more than two niches. I don't recommend it. I think there are other ways that you could identify a very clear niche. I think if you have two niches, it gets confusing. And when it's confusing, people don't refer to you. So we want to make it as easy as possible for people to refer. And that's where we come back to your business planning again and having a look at some of those systems and processes. So maybe if you haven't done it yet, get a friend or a colleague or a family member to, you know, set themselves up, try and book an appointment as a test client and get some feedback from them on what their experience was like. Don't coach them through it and say, click here, then click there and explain things. Just sit there quietly with your, you know, with your lips closed, even though you might want to jump in and say something. Don't stop yourself. And let people have a chance to book an appointment using the process that you've got. And once it's done, then say to them, what was that like for you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how easy or hard was it? You know, what was your experience like? Was it pretty straightforward? Was it confusing? Was it simple? Was it overwhelming? Was it clear? Was it unclear? Do you know what I mean? Get that feedback and then try again with a different person. So always try and make sure that you've got really easy ways for clients to book in with you. Okay, it is so important. So I want to come back to something else with your marketing. When I say you need to be the go-to practice, it comes back to you having a very clear message as well. So, you know, I talk about, you know, sort of trending areas, and it still seems to be grief and loss and trauma still seem to be the big ones at the moment. Like, lots of therapists are sort of gravitating to that space, which is very interesting because there's so many different areas that you could be working in. But for some reason at the moment, there's a lot of interest in trauma, grief, and loss, okay? So if you're in that space, really think about how are you different from the other hundreds of practices that also offer online services for trauma, grief, and loss, right? Why am I going to book in with you over one of those other businesses? And this is going to come back to your messaging. It's not going to come back to the colors that you used on your website. It's not going to come back to your logo. In fact, you know, it's highly unlikely anyone's ever going to remember your logo. It's important. Your logo is really important to you, but other people just don't care about your logo. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Like, you need to understand this. So many of you put all this time and effort and investment into making sure that, you know, you get the right logo. No one cares about your logo, and no one cares really about your brand colors. And two, coming up with, you know, all these names for your private practice, no one cares. What they do care about is, can you help them? That's what they care about. The logo is not necessarily going to make you memorable, especially if you're somebody who's using a logo that is very saturated in our market. So one of the things I teach in Marketing Essentials is how to create unique branding, because, you know, if you are one of the practices that is using what I call a saturated logo, and that's just something that is used by many, 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 many practices, like a lotus flower, you know, if you're using a lotus flower and your client is there thinking, now, I really wanted to go and book in with that person. I don't remember their name or the practice name, but I remember they had a lotus flower. They're going to go into Google and they're going to look up counselor or psychologist or something, lotus flower, and they're going to get millions of people. So don't use lotus flowers. Or, you know, the other really popular one is tree of life, or there's the drop of water in the pond or the ocean or the cup, you know, whatever it is. But it's like the drop is coming up from the water or from the liquid. They're probably the three most common ones that come to mind. If you've got those logos, you're going to have a hard time if you're relying on the logo to get you clients, which is actually good to know that the logo isn't what's going to get you the clients. But yeah, I think don't overthink stuff, right? You've got to understand that clients aren't coming for the logo and the business name and the colors that you use. They're coming because they believe you can help them. And this is irrespective of Medicare, right? They're coming and they will pay you without Medicare. They will pay you if they believe that you can help them. So ask yourself, okay, I'm not getting clients. How am I showing my audience that I can help them? How am I doing that? How am I showing them that? And then write content that speaks into, hey, help people, right? And try and take a show not tell approach to this, because it's just a lot more powerful, all right? So I think that these were like the main points that I wanted to share with you, because I see so many new counselors and new private practice owners spend time on the wrong things. They'll spend, you know, weeks, some even longer looking at branding because they think that's what's going to get them a client, and it's not. Instead, spend, you know, a morning on those three things, and then spend weeks on your messaging, on your niching, on making yourself become the go-to practice. Spend weeks on making sure that you've got the essential systems and processes in place and you know what KPIs you need to be tracking in the business. So yeah, I wanted to share that. And the other thing that I wanted to share with you too was there's a marketing workshop that I'm running. It's free. I know so many of you have joined. Well, I say so many because I think it's really great, but there's nearly 200 people that have signed up for that marketing workshop. It happens in July. If you haven't yet, you're welcome to come along too. I'll put the link in the show notes. And side note, there's already 400 people that have signed up for the private practice workshop that's coming up in October. 400. And that's all happened because there was so much word of mouth from the one that we just ran in October. So I am so blown away by that. You know, people that came along to that one have then gone and told other people, you need to go to this workshop. It's so good. And the waitlist just kind of blew up. It's been amazing. I'm so excited about it, even though it's in 5 months' time. So yeah, I'm so excited about that. But anyway, the marketing workshop, I was going to say something about that. Oh, yes. I was talking with somebody this morning and she was saying to me, oh, I think I signed up for the free marketing workshop, but I'm just, you know, just in air commas, a diploma counselor, and I don't think I need it because I'm going to wait until I finish my diploma and then I'm going to start my private practice and then I'll come and do the free marketing workshop. And I wrote back to her and I said, nope, that's backwards thinking. That's not how it works. You don't finish your course and then open your practice and then only do a marketing course if you don't have clients. I understand why you think this is the way, but it's not. This is the way that people who struggle do it. I don't want you to be in struggle street. You don't need to be in struggle street. There's a new way of doing private practice and I'm here to show you what it is. And the thing about marketing is you need to understand it and learn it while you're studying before you open your practice so that you know what you're getting yourself into, right? And so that you can prepare. I think you know, the general rule of thumb that I love to share is it takes 90 days of marketing in order for you to start getting a consistent flow of clients coming through the doors. So even if you're thinking, oh, well, I finished my course in November and I'm going to open in January, then we know 3 months back from January is day one that you activate your marketing campaign, right? We don't activate the marketing campaign in January. Otherwise, you'll be waiting a quarter and you'll be sitting there paying rent perhaps, or paying for all the things that you need, your emails and your websites and this, that, and the other, and trying to pay yourself and living off savings. And that's not going to be fun. And everybody's going to be saying, hey, how's your business going? And you're going to start withdrawing because you're going to be embarrassed that it's actually, you know, working yet, sort of thing. So you don't do that. What we do is you learn about marketing, you learn about your niche while you're studying. You learn about your messaging while you're studying. You learn about, you know, what systems you need to have in place while you're studying. Think, before you activate that 90-day business plan, there are things that need to have happened before. Like, you need to have the business plan in place, right? Before you activate your marketing plan, you need to have the business plan in place, because you don't know what you're marketing without that plan. You don't know how you're marketing it without that plan. And you don't know how you're going to be measuring whether or not it's working without that plan. So even before the 90 days, you need to have time to put the plan in place. And once you've got that business plan in place, you will then need time to go and implement it, right? To go and create the website and write the copy and do all of those things. So I would say you probably need to be learning about marketing 6 months before you open up. Now, I understand some of you are going to be saying, oh, well, I can't because I'm studying full time. Well, you can, because I specifically and intentionally, deliberately made the Marketing Essentials program for people who are studying full time, so that you can do it in little bits here and there. So each little training in that program is like 5 or 10 minutes max. And then there's an actionable thing that you can do that day that will set up your practice, so that when you do open the doors on the 1st of January, for argument's sake, you can do it to clients that are in the diary ready to see you, right? And that is the dream right there. And that's what makes a successful practice. You can be ahead of the curve, but you need to start preparing for opening the business 6 months ahead, even while you're studying. And if you are working full time, then the same applies to you. I'm sure that you can all find half an hour in your week to invest in your business over the course of 6 months, right? If the business is important to you, which it is, you're thinking about it and you're studying toward it, then this is something that you will easily be able to set aside time for, okay? So I'm sharing this with you because I don't want you to make the mistake that so many people who started a private practice before you made. They're the ones that you're listening to in the groups that are struggling. Don't listen to them, because they didn't do things the correct way. They did things backwards. They used backwards thinking. They said, I'll finish my course, then I'll open my practice, and then if I'm not getting clients, I'll market. That's not how you run a business. So I don't want you to be swayed or deterred by those negative voices in the groups about the marketing. And they're also oftentimes the people who never learnt a marketing skill. They've never attended a marketing workshop, that, you know, they've never purchased marketing resources. It feels icky, it feels foreign, they don't want anything to do with it, but they've heard somewhere that you should be on social media, and so they're posting on social media, and what they're posting doesn't work. And so then they're in the community saying, I hate marketing, and you're listening to that. and you're thinking, oh, she's ahead of me and she hates marketing. She says it doesn't work and she's got an empty diary and she's over there saying, we need to be on Medicare, rah, rah, rah. So yeah, I agree. We do need to be on Medicare. No, you don't. It doesn't matter whether you're on Medicare or not. Having Medicare does not guarantee that you're going to have a private practice with a wait list or a private practice with a fully booked diary. Medicare is irrelevant, okay? Medicare is irrelevant. You do not need it to, and do you know what? There are plenty of psychologists and social workers that don't even work under Medicare and they do have flourishing practices, okay? Medicare is a moot point, right? Get off that idea, break that thinking right now that you need to be on Medicare because it's stopping you. You're using it as an excuse to hide behind for why you're not getting clients. And I'm calling you out on it with love. I'm calling you out on it because I see what's available to you and I see what's possible for you. And you are shooting yourself in the foot by believing that Medicare is the reason why. It's not. The reason why is because you just haven't learned yet how to market. Okay. And it's totally fixable. It's totally fixable. Anyway, what else did I want to share with you? Oh, yes. Okay. So the Diploma Counselor Society, that opens on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Super exciting. If you're in the Facebook communities and if you're on my email list, thank you to everybody who, cast a vote for our four case study ladies, for the four members who submitted case studies about their journey with the DCS. Thank you so much for taking the time out to go and vote for them. I really, really appreciate it. They find out tomorrow. Is it tomorrow night or Thursday night? No, tomorrow night voting closes. They find out Thursday morning, you know, who the winner is. And it's so exciting and I'm so happy to celebrate them and I'm so inspired by their different journeys. It's been just an absolute joy. So yeah, and if you want to join the DCS, you can. There are two ways that you can do it. You can either be on the wait list or not. If you get on the wait list, it means that you get the program for almost half price and you can perhaps even win back the cost of the program plus a cash prize, which how fun is that? Like, why would you not want to put your hat in the ring for that? So that's option one. Option two, don't go on the wait list and pay normal price for it. It's open from, you can enroll. This intake is happening for 72 hours. So it's from 7 p.m. Thursday night, closes 7 p.m. Sunday night, and won't open again for 6 months. And I think it's really an important space for people that have a diploma because you can come and learn how you can build your practice without Medicare and without other types of funding. You can learn so many things like, you'll see it all. I don't want to go into a big sales thing. Anyway, that's there for you. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone who's interested. And also, yeah, there's the marketing workshop. It's coming up in July. I'm super excited about that. If you want to come along, I'll put the link in the show notes. It goes for 3 days. So we have a training every day. So the first one is on Monday night at 7 p.m. The next one is Tuesday at 12 noon, so lunchtime. And then the third one is 9 a.m. on the Wednesday. Those trainings are recorded. You can purchase the recordings if you want to watch replays and things like that later on. There's also resources that I'm gifting to you so that you can actually see some results with what you're going to be doing with your marketing. And these are, if you've ever been to one of my workshops, you know I love to give resources because I love to see the results and it's so much fun to see everybody saying, oh my gosh, this worked. It's so much fun. So yes, you're going to be getting loads of those as well. And I think last time I said, like in April, I ended up also doing a bonus training and then also a bonus Q&A. And everybody had access to things for about a week. I think it was about a week. And then everything was sort of packed up and tidied away. So if you want to come along to that, come along. Again, it's free and it's all designed to help you get some tangible results with the marketing in your private practice to dispel a few myths and help shift your thinking around what the marketing is for us in private practice, which is very, very different, as you know, to marketing in the coaching world or marketing in other industries. So there are a few little fun things for you to do. But I guess at the end of the day, what I want you to really take away from this is that there are plenty of opportunities for you to create a practice without Medicare. You do not need it. Medicare is not your saving grace. It's not why you're not filling your diary. You can absolutely have a practice that fills your soul, that fills your heart, that is really rewarding, that you love, that you feel energized by, and that does not rely on Medicare. Okay. Well, I hope this was really helpful and inspiring. If you have any requests for podcast episodes, you can let me know and I'll be more than happy to speak to them. I think I've got about 10 requests now, so I'll be using those for the Saturday recordings. I'm so excited for you. Have a wonderful day. Bye for now.
On a Wednesday morning, you know what to do. Tune into the podcast just for a few. I'll be your guide with tips for your trade. Business success, that's what we'll create. They call it private practice, a world of its own, where entrepreneurs thrive and dreams are grown. From marketing strategies to financial know-how, I'll share the secrets, come on and take a bow. Welcome to the Private Practice Podcast, where I'll help you thrive and we'll have a blast. Tune in every Wednesday, and you'll soon see your business success. It starts with me.